Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Right. One of the most unfortunate album titles in rock music history. It's just awful.
Hey everybody, this is Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. Thanks very much for tuning in to the continuation of this mini-series on the Bee Gees and the music they created before Saturday Night Fever, before they got famous, before they were staying alive. Today, we open up the episode at a fairly tough point for the Bee Gees. Brother Robin has left the group over disagreements with songwriting direction, I think, and also song choice, and wasn't too comfortable with the way Barry and producer Robert Stigwood were interacting and taking control of some of the decisions. So he left the group, and we're going to hear about his return right at the beginning of this episode. However, before I turn it over to Paul Hayden, and I want to thank him very, very much once again for the outline, for all the research, and just the general passion and knowledge he brought to this topic. I think it's come out wonderful, if I do say so myself. And I just want to mention that you will hear Paul and I, or Paul mention the album they recorded without Robin in the group. And we don't think of the name right away, but later in the episode, after we're getting going, we do think of it. So there'll be one point where all of a sudden, the name of this album they made, which is fairly ridiculous, comes up and we start laughing. So be prepared for that moment. But let's turn it over to Paul Hayden now as we continue this odyssey through the pre-disco Bee Gees.
But I know that the Bee Gees did make an album just Barry and Morris. This is where we kind of start to see things trending down, and for various reasons. You know, 1970, Robert Stigwood's very concerned because his biggest asset is the Bee Gees. And if they're not together, they're not making records and touring, he's not making money. So he convinces Robin to go to Barry's house and just talk. And I guess the meeting was, as you would expect, pretty awkward. So Barry sits down at the piano and says, "Yeah, I've been working on this song, but I can use, do you want to help me with it?" And it turns out to be "How Can You Mend a Broken Heart?"
Wow.
And so Barry's peace offering is to let Robin sing the first verse. "I can think of younger days.
I can think of younger days when living for my life was everything a man could want to do.
I could never see tomorrow, but I was never told about the sorrows.
And how can you mend the broken hearts?
How can you stop the rain from falling down?
Stop the sun from shining. What makes the world go round?
How can you mend this broken man?
How can a loser ever win?
Please help me mend my broken.
I can still feel the breeze that rustles through the trees, and misty memories of days gone by.
We could never see tomorrow. No one said a word about the sorrow.
So the song is started, but it's not quite finished. What was finished was the song Lonely Days. And that was one of the first one, or I should say that was written, one of the first songs I wrote after Barry Robin agreed to come back to the band. And it did very well, went to number three on the charts, but the album, 2 years on, didn't do so well. And then in 1971... they released the album Trafalgar. Cucumber Castle is the one they made without...
Cucumber Castle, that was it. Robin. One of the most unfortunate album titles in rock music history. It's just awful.
That was just doomed.
From the start. No Robin. We're going to call it Cucumber Castle. It's not going to do well.
right. So Trafalgar comes out. And How Can You Mend a Broken Heart? They finish it up, and it becomes their first U.S. number one. And
yeah,
the song it knocked out of number one, James Taylor's You've Got a Friend. So
really? I didn't know that. How interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So this was subsequently covered by Al Green on his Let's Stay Together album.
Right.
And I believe at the time... Etta James, if she didn't sing that, it was something else. And Nina Simone also recorded a Bee Gees song. So you can kind of sense the R&B community is noticing Barry. And that's kind of an omen for what is going to come a little later on.
Yeah. And I was trying to think about this too, Paul. I don't know what it is, but Barry Gibb had that magic touch. And, you know, when they wrote either with his brothers or when he wrote a song, that it was immediately able to be open to interpretation, which I think is a pretty fascinating trait, right? I mean, there's a lot of people for whom, you know, they write songs and it's just not easy, or it doesn't seem obvious that it can be interpreted unless you're doing it the same exact way the artist did it, right? And you're copying them note for note. But the ability to write a song where another artist can come in and open it up to different directions and take it in a different direction and let it breathe or do whatever to it and still have it maintain its melody and its essence is a rare gift.
Some kind of love you never showed me.
put. That's part of my argument, is that he is a incredible songwriter. That's why we're doing this. I want people to know, you know, this stuff is worth checking out. If you've just been turned off by their image or whatever, there's a lot of good stuff here to be had. So we're going to get up to 1972 now, and the album To Whom It May Concern. And this is where they felt they had to write their own album to strengthen the family bond. They wanted to keep everybody together. They didn't want another situation where one of the brothers leaves. So they're going to make an album that they are happy with. Forget the charts. Forget what's happening out there. They're back into their little kind of cocoon, and they're making records that satisfy them, but do not satisfy Robert Stigwood and the record company. Although it did yield Run to Me, was top 10 in the UK, and pretty much one of their standards at this point.
If ever you got rain in your heart, someone has hurt you and torn you apart. Am I unwise to open up your eyes to love me and let it be like they said it would be? Me loving you, girl, and you loving me. Am I unwise to open up your eyes to love?
Come to me whenever you're lonely.
Come
to me if you need a shoulder.
Now and then you need someone older. So darling, you run to me. Beside you, and no one to hold. Am I unwise to open up your eyes to love me? And when you've got nothing to lose, nothing to pay for, nothing to choose, am I unwise to open up your eyes?
By this time, you know, you listen to what else is out there. You know, David Bowie's got Ziggy Stardust. Stevie Wonder's got Music of My Mind. He's left the Motown shop and has got some artistic freedom. Rod Stewart made Every Picture Tells a Story and Never a Dull Moment. These are more... More of artistic statements than pop songs.
Yeah, and the Beatles have been broken up for 2 years, and they were making solo records at this point that were going in, you know, in different directions. So all of that is a great point about where they were at that moment.
Right, things are changing out there, but in our world, it's still the same. So this is where that kind of insular nature works against them. And they're unwilling to try new sounds. They put out another album later in 72 called Life in a Tin Can. It did not sell. In fact, the single, Wouldn't I Be Someone, was the first one to not crack the Billboard Top 100. A new low.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. I mean, you would think just on name alone, they would sell enough.
They would have enough fans to get into the top 100.
Right. So we're at a low point now. You know, 1970, 374, the band is not playing arenas anymore. In fact, they're playing kind of like supper clubs. Reminds me of stories I heard about Johnny Cash before he worked with Rick Rubin on the American recordings. He was at a pretty low point. I think he was doing the same kind of circuit.
Wow.
Just these, he'll play for whoever wants to see him, but he was,
yeah,
is not where he, what, you know, you think of him now, he's an icon and everybody knows Johnny Cash, but back whenever that, the 80s or whatever, no one really wanted anything to do with them. And that's kind of what the Bee Gees discovered. Now, they, again, because they're so tight, they kind of liked, they just want to play.
Yeah.
And they've hit the big time. So they've experienced success. But, you know, for them, it's like, okay, well, we're still close as a family. This isn't the end of the world. We're still playing. But, yeah, it would be nice to do a little better than this.
If ever you've got rain in your heart, someone has hurt you and torn you apart. Am I unwise to open up your eyes to love me?
Let it be like they said it would be. Me loving you, girl, and you love me. Am I unwise to open up your eyes?
Stuff is worth checking out if you've just been turned off by their image or whatever. There's a lot of good stuff here to be had.